Good morning. 6:32 in the morning, Monday, March 5th. Ah, cool, cool, clear. No, not clear. Cool morning, anyway. It's not clear. Actually, there's a lot of cloudiness around. Some of it's low-lying, some of it's quite high. There's almost a bit of nacreous cloud over the mountains. And some mackerel-shaped clouds out over the plains with the sun rising underneath them. It's quite lovely. It's also quite chilly. At 30 degrees, 28, 30 degrees, it's really quite cool out this morning. I got underway pretty much on time. I was a few minutes late this today, but I am so stoked about this story for Bulldogs. I haven't actually put words down, but the story itself has really come together, at least in its initial conflagration, its initial configuration. The idea of Hansel and Gretel, where the kids steal off into the woods to eat the candy from the witch's house, and she invites them inside to feed them more, not realizing, and they go in not realizing that the witch is planning to kill them and eat them. And this is perfect. I love this plot. I love this setup. Because here we have a bunch of freebooters in a ship, and they discover in the woods, or in this case, in an asteroid belt in a tucked away system. It's not really too far away, just a little bit off the beaten path. And they find something, and they explore it. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm really excited. So I can't wait. And I say that, and I haven't written a word today either. But it's coming. I got a full morning this morning between 8:30 meetings, 10 o'clock meeting. I still have to go back down to Denver. But it's going to be a good day, I think. It's going to be a useful day. Need to get my schedule back up. I also need to get the grading done. I've been looking over the students' work for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I got to get some of that grading done, some of the back grading in particular, where it's not terribly difficult to do, but what I need to do is go through and find the people who are writing horoscopes and give them a bit of a wake-up call. And then, that's actually not going to take a terribly long time. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to start writing around noon. And with any luck, I can bang out a draft this afternoon and get that off to JR, and that would be great. Whew. So what else? Listening to the NPR Books podcast, which is sometimes interesting and sometimes not so much. A lot of times they have articles tucked in the middle that aren't really what I would consider to be, which really are more interesting than the ones that they start with or end with. And this time it was a re-release of a public domain work from 1928 called Plato, where an author in 1912 cranked out 54 books in 1 year. And he did it through the use of this tool that he created to create plots. Now, in 1912, I'm sure the books are not 100,000-word plots either. They were probably 40,000 words. So, and they gave some examples of some of them. B cannot marry A because unbeknownst to B, B's father used her in scientific experiments and introduced poison into her blood. That's the plot. I love it. So I may have to go see if I can find this on Gutenberg or see if I can track down a public domain copy. Because the name of it is Plato, or I don't know how it's spelled. But I have to go look it up now because it's just too intriguing an idea. Not that I want to use any of the plots, but just that it's an interesting notion that in 1912, at really, I won't say the height of the assembly line development, but very close to the beginning of the use of the modern assembly line in manufacturing in America, that this guy would have created a book of formula that would define not just seven plots, but over 1,400 different plots that he could use in his writing. And he actually used it to write 54. Now, we don't know this guy. I've never heard this guy before. So, it's needless to say, it's not necessarily timeless prose that what he did was really was crank out pulp novels. And in 1912, they had to be, if not penny dreadful, at least dime novels. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know, what was the state of pulp in 1912? Interesting question by itself. I also heard about Queen Peggy. And what was interesting to me was, as a character, Queen Peggy, talked about her life before and after being named queen of her village in Ghana. Her uncle had been the king, but she worked for, I think, the UN in New York. And when she got the phone call that she was named queen, they thought she thought they were kidding. So she goes back to Ghana and starts dealing with some of the issues of corruption, clean water, finances, all of the things that go into running a village, basically a mayor kind of job. But that really, because it's queen, it has an extra meaning. It has an extra connotation to it. And it was fascinating to hear her talk about coming back to the United States and having someone yell at her or shout at her or curse her or whatever in one of the shops. And in the past, she would have given it right back. But now, she is a queen. And she has a position to uphold. And she has not a persona, but a kind of mandate to be queen, not just when she's in Ghana, but in all of her dealings with people who are not queens, who are not heads of state, which she now is, even though she still works as a secretary at the UN. So I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was a very interesting take. And this is going to show up in a book somewhere. I don't know quite where or quite how, but this is definitely going to show up. This idea. To a certain extent, Ishmael Wong had it when he became captain. And people started talking to him as if he were different. And he was different. And he wasn't even aware that he was different. In this case, Queen Peggy was definitely aware that she was different now, that she couldn't just give him back the sass. She couldn't just mouth off. She had a responsibility to her office, to her position, to her people, to be Queen Peggy. I thought that was amazing. If her book didn't cost so much, I'd probably go read it. Which is terribly unfair, I suppose. Anyway, so I thought this is intriguing. This is an interesting idea, an interesting ideal, and one I think I'm going to use somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where. Ishmael used in the share books. Once he became captain, Ishmael changed. And once he became owner, he changed again, which is not quite so clear that he changed, but that he did change. And in being captain meant something important, that meant he had a responsibility beyond himself. And in a certain extent, owner got in the way of that, because he now had a responsibility to himself and to an entity outside, the shareholders, the stockholders, who owned, in a certain real sense, part of his soul. So it was interesting for me to write that without having him explicitly explore this idea, because looking back on it, it was clearly there. But when I was doing it, I'm not convinced that I actually understood what I was writing, even at the time. So I thought that was, it's a fascinating insight, and I was greatly taken with Queen Peggy and her talk about becoming queen of the village in Ghana. I want to go teach school for her. I want to go work for her. She sounds like the kind of person that I would like to work with, which is kind of silly because, yeah, I'm going to go to Ghana and teach school. That ain't going to happen. But still. So I've made the turn east. The sun is just over the horizon, so it's shining straight into my face, which is nice in terms of the warmth, not so nice in terms of the light. So I keep my eyes downcast. I won't be dazzled too badly. Oh, and I know exactly where Queen Peggy is going to go. It just came to me. Okay, I can deal with this. So, what else? It was a pretty quiet weekend. I did a lot of background thinking. I didn't get terrible much done in terms of concrete production, but particularly in the morning walks, thank you people for making me come out and talk to you in the morning. Particularly in the morning walks, I've had the opportunity to really start digging into this story, to start in a more formalized way, to percolate ideas. I start them in the morning and they sort of dribble through my brain all day until, yesterday? Maybe it was Saturday afternoon. Anyway, I don't really remember. The problem with this kind of working at home scheme is that the days do blend together, which makes it difficult to come to grips with what day really it is. If I didn't have Monday on my phone when I brought up the date, I probably wouldn't know what day of the week it is. But I did get my phone finally. I did get my phone to sync to my Google Calendar. It did sync for a long time and then it stopped. And it occurred to me that the problem was that I changed the password on Google. So the Google app couldn't get into my calendar, which was kind of a pain in the butt. So now it's fixed, and now I do sync my phone to my calendar. That'll actually help keep me on track, help keep me where I need to be, I think, I hope. what I do is, and I haven't scheduled today or tomorrow, but I need to schedule out the next couple of days and figure out where I'm going to write, when I'm going to read, when I'm going to do my audio editing. And I still haven't heard from Ryden, so I don't know. I hate the thought of having to kick them to the curb, because that means I'm just going to have to arm wrestle them for past due monies, and they're going to argue about it, and yeah. Kind of a pain in the butt. Of course, the other side of that is that the longer I wait, the more money there is. That'll have to be argued about. Anyway. March 5th. My God, how did it get to be March? This is the third month and I haven't put out a single book. And I was going to do 6 books this year. I've got to get my act in gear. I've got to get my hustle in a bustle. No, that's backwards. I need to get my bustle in a hustle. And I'm going to go home and plug this in and have coffee and edit a little audio and put this online and then probably forget half of what it is that I talked about this morning in the process of making the post. Start my life. Anyway, I have to sneeze. I've got a sneeze caught in my nose and it's not being cooperative. Drat. It'll show up at the worst possible time, probably, but... Ah, well. Ah! These geese flying. The sun has kind of burned off some of the clouds. It's up fully now. The sky is beautiful blue. I think it's made more blue by the whiteness of the clouds. It's definitely some nacreous clouds over the mountains. They have a particular kind of shape, shell shape. Hence the word nacreous. There's also some mackerel sky straight overhead and heading off to the east toward sunrise. Lots of birds this morning. I haven't noticed so many birds in a while. Starlings, sparrows, well, sounds like a blackbird. Beautiful morning. A great day to be a writer, and I'm going to get some writing done today. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my bones. It's going to be a good day. I wonder if I can cancel my 8:30. Ah. It'll be fine. I can't cancel my 10 o'clock morning. Therapist. Need to go talk to her. 8 o'clock, 8:30 would be good too. Get the kids going. The wife out the door. Pizza last night for supper, so I have to be very careful with what I eat for the rest of the week because there was so much salt and fat in that that I gained 3 pounds overnight probably. I need to be a little more circumspect for the rest of the week. The big weigh-in is Thursday morning. I've got to go have my checkup, find out how soon the doctor thinks I'm going to die. I hope it's not going to be for a while yet, but you never know. Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.